Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and happy Monday to you all. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about mind power from a different perspective. Let's call it soul power, spirit power, prayer power, whatever term you're most comfortable with. I think you'll find my guest today, John Welshans, a man that will touch your heart and your mind in a way and manner that maybe you have wanted to be touched. His book is titled When Prayers Aren't Answered, Opening the Heart and Quieting the Mind in Challenging Times. And boy, we've got those right with us right here, right now. In spite of all that, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be with you.
It is a delight to have you as a guest. I understand that you're stuck in the middle of a storm. Are you in New Jersey?
I'm in New Jersey, and we've just had a deluge.
Whoa, yeah. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Well, is it like a thunder, one of those East Coast thunderstorms that comes through?
Yeah, thunder and lightning and torrential rain and all sorts of stuff. So
all kinds of things.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Marist Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Hi, we were having a bit of a challenge with the telephone lines there, so we had to break away for just a moment. When I was introducing John Welshans, who's back on the line with us right now, I wanted you to know that John is a speaker, he is a leader of workshops, and also he is very deeply involved with teaching meditation. He authored a book, Awakening from Grief, Finding the Way Back to Joy. And he wrote that because that was a very personal experience for him, and he has worked closely with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and Ram Dass and Stephen Levine. There are so many people, John, that you have worked with. You've been involved with counseling others for over 35 years. How many times did you experience the frustration of people saying, I have prayed, I have visualized, I've treasure mapped, and none of this stuff works because nothing's happened? Hasn't happened for a long time. Well, is that what spurred you to try to find out a way to communicate with people what to do when their prayers aren't answered?
Well, that's a large part of it, Donna, absolutely. It really started, and I tell this story at the beginning of the book, When Prayers Aren't Answered. I was invited to speak in a church in California, and I asked the minister what she wanted me to speak about, because I knew, you know, they never want me to speak grief. And she said, well, maybe some aspect of prayer. And I said, well, you know, the truth is that the people that I deal with most commonly are feeling their prayers weren't answered. And I could see that that was a subject that wasn't generally covered in her church or in many churches, New Thought-type churches. And with all of the popularity of The Secret and The Power of Attraction and so on and so forth, I started to really realize that while those teachings are wonderful, they don't work for everyone in every circumstance, and we needed to really have a way to explore the spiritual teachings and the spiritual growth that's available when we don't get what we want.
I agree. And there's another side to that, and I'll just throw this in. It's another aspect of what I call a many-sided coin, not just one or two sides, but many-sided. And that is that sometimes we think we know what we're wanting to ask for, but we really don't. We have
exactly.
got a concept in our head that maybe we saw in a movie or we heard somebody else experiencing, and we go, well, I want that. But that's not really what we want. And I think that there's that other aspect, too. I do have to mention something to you. Your foreword, which was done by Richard Carlson, was very meaningful to me, and I'll tell you why. I was to have interviewed Richard when I was notified by his publicist that he had died of a massive coronary.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when I saw this in the front of your book and what he had to say, I thought this was, for me especially, meaningful because this man died at a very young age. And his passion for life and empowering people was just absolutely wonderful. And you had a very strong impact on him, especially your book, Awakening from Grief, because somebody very, very close to him had died 2 days prior to his wedding and caused him to go into deep, deep grief. And here he is to be married in 2 days, which is supposed to be a very happy event. And your book
it was
had
his dearest friend.
And your book had a tremendous impact. And he considered you one of the rare, and he put in quotes, true spiritual teachers. So you became very, very good friends. And then it was shortly after you wrote this foreword that he passed away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, Donna. One of the things that I like to share with people is that I have been surrounded by teachings on the law of attraction and positive thinking and so on all my life. In fact, my parents were married by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale back in 1944.
My goodness.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's always been a big part of my life. And at the same time, you know, all of the positive thinking in the world didn't seem to alleviate my parents' addiction to alcohol, which was a very serious problem in our family. And the truth of the matter is that I've had the good fortune and blessing to know as personal friends many of the most famous and successful positive thinkers on earth right now. And yet I don't know a single one whose life has been completely free of suffering or disappointment. And certainly, you know, in Richard's case, I mean, he just exited the planet unexpectedly and left those of us who loved him dearly, and he was beloved to so many people, really struggling with, you know, how to incorporate that experience of losing him. And he was 46. He seemed to be in good health. And yet that was what happened.
Yeah, and it happened
right
very
in the
fast.
Middle of writing the book.
Right. Just gone. Just like that.
Yeah.
And that's life. The fact is that none of us are going to get out of here doing the tango. We might be before we leave. But, you know, when it's time to go, we're gone.
Right.
And
that's
maybe that's a very philosophical way of saying it. But having seen as a counselor everything from the death of an infant within just a couple of hours to, you know, meeting someone that's well over 100 years of age that's still tripping the light fantastic in their own experience and everything in between, there's no guarantees. So
it's no guarantee.
Living life with quality. But so many people give up on their dreams or give up on what is so deep inside of them, and they give up on a joy of living because they get stuck in a paradigm of expectation. And
right.
I loved what a friend of yours said, and I'm quoting from your book, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. If we think our prayers aren't being answered, it means we are not listening carefully enough to hear the answers. And I have found that to be true in my personal experience. I won't speak for anybody else, but in mine, many, many times.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I love, one of my favorite quotations in the book is from Wayne Dyer, where he says, the purpose of prayer is not to influence God to grant you special favors, but rather to remind yourself that you are always connected to God. And I think that's really the essence of the book. It's really to understand that there is no way God could abandon us. There's no way God could turn his back on us, you know, or her back or its back or however we want to characterize God. But because it's there's only one in the entire universe, there's only one energy, and we're all part of it. So the idea that we'd be disconnected would be the greatest illusion of all, or the greatest delusion of all. So I always find, I mean, isn't it interesting, Donna, that so many of us will say, after we've gone through a difficult period in life, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, and yet, boy, did I grow through that
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the essence of spiritual growth, is not necessarily getting what you want when you want it, but it's learning how to dive within your own being to find what's always present inside you, and that's your connection to God.
Mm-hmm. And we all have it. No matter what our background, we're never, ever separate from it. We're always connected. You have a delightful story in here about an Indian teacher, and it relates to the statement, the treasure which once found is never lost, and it's about the seven tiles. Would you share that story with us? I like that story.
Sure. It's actually a story about a teacher named Meher Baba. And Meher Baba made up this game called Seven Tiles, and he liked to play it with his devotees. But whenever they played it, he always won. Meher Baba always won. And they started to realize he was changing the rules every time so that he could win. And then he, you know, sort of very playfully, he would say, well, then the loser has to get down on the ground and rub their nose on the ground or something. You know, it wasn't harmful or hurtful. It was just a strange thing. And finally,
mm-hmm.
all the devotees got in an uproar, and they said, Baba, this isn't fair. You know, you always win, and we always lose. And he looked at them, and he said, what you don't yet understand is that the loser is the winner. And that really, you know, I took that as, what on earth is he talking about, you know? That's just crazy. But I started to realize, there's another quotation in the book from the Tao Te Ching, in which it said, the student gains by daily increment. The way is gained by daily loss.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, what it means is the way being the way to God, or the way to enlightenment, or the way to truth, or the path to happiness, whatever you want to call it, is gained by daily loss. Well, just a few minutes ago, before we got on the air, I was talking with someone, and I was reflecting on Michelangelo's statement about the Statue of David. When he was sculpting the incredibly beautiful statue, which now is in a museum in Florence, Italy, he said, you know, when he was asked how he did it, he said, well, I realized that the David was already in the marble. So I looked at this block of marble and I said, well, the statue is in there. My job is to bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I wasn't creating David. I was just chipping away all of the pieces of marble that weren't David.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, in some sense, the way you could understand what Meher Baba was saying and the statement from the Tao Te Ching, which is that the spiritual path, in a very real sense, is the chipping away of all of the things that we think we are, which we really aren't, and all of the identities and attachments of mind that we have, which really aren't part of our soul or our spirit. And so the path is getting down to the essential core being. Who are we in our soul, in our Atman, in our Christ consciousness or Buddha nature? How do we get to that? And that involves very often a lot of loss on the path to finding who you truly are.
Now, in relative connection with this, you have a charming story about the saint Sambhari Maharaj.
Sambhari Maharaj, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And
it
was
the story of the two potatoes.
Yes. Please share the story of the two potatoes, because I think this is charming. To me, there was no wrong way to do something, but I really enjoyed the story.
Right. Well, it's and even within the context of the story, it isn't a wrong way. But basically, the story is, in India, when you have a guru, you're expected to do whatever the guru tells you to do in exactly the way he tells you to do it, or she tells you to do it. And this was a saint named Sambhari Maharaj, and a young man was a devotee of his. And one day, Sambhari Maharaj handed the young man two potatoes, and he said, "Go down by the river and eat both potatoes." Well, the young man went off to the river, and he sat down, and he was just about to eat the first potato, and an old elderly beggar came up to him and said, "Baba, I'm so hungry. You have two potatoes. I don't have any. Can you please give me one of your potatoes?" Well, the young fellow looks at this elderly man, and he says, "How could I say no? How could you say no in a moment like that?" So he hands the elderly man the other potato. So the young man eats the first potato. The elderly man eats the second potato. The young man goes back to the ashram, to Sambhari Maharaj. Sambhari Maharaj is screaming at him, "You fool! You idiot! I told you to eat both potatoes!" And then he just kind of resigned himself, and he said, "Well, I guess it wasn't your karma." Now, that young man, as he got older, became a very prominent attorney and then a very successful judge. He had a number of children. He made lots of money. He lived very well. His children all married well and lived well. Well, that, in the story, is understood to be the first potato. And the second potato, as I told the story, I was talking about it with my friend Ram Dass. We were discussing it, and he said, "You know, that was all the first potato." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what was the second potato?" He said, "God." This young man was given, through a spiritual boon or a blessing from his guru, the opportunity to both have worldly success and know God. And he only ate the first potato, which was the worldly success. Now, he had a good life, but the issue that's presented is, what do we really want in life? You know, do we really want all of this stuff that we really can't take with us? Or do we want the one experience that we can take with us, which is the experience of consciously connecting with that which created us?
You have so many different facets in your book that you bring attention to, and one that I have a deep regard for is your section regarding the train of fear. And You go into how fear and anger is generated in the realm of politics. And we see it not just here in the United States. It's all around the world. And right now we're experiencing dimensions of ugliness. I heard stories just this past weekend from people that had been in Iraq, and the stories that were given to another person and related then to me. And the horrors, the things that are going on in the Philippines that were told to me just yesterday. And I listened to these horrors, and I realized that the biggest motivator for all of this is ignorance, fear, and superstition.
Exactly.
Those are my words.
Yeah.
And you bring out some very good points, whether it's Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, and Christians. It doesn't make any difference. They are motivators that those who are not wise enough to look at what's going on behind the scenes are influenced by. And they, in turn, produce the ugliness that's equal to whatever they're accusing anybody else of doing. And you make a statement here. I'm going to quote it from your book. We human beings tend to be at our worst when we are motivated by fear and anger. We do irrational, heartless, violent things. Our fear and anger have formed the basis for every war, every injustice, every genocide, every human-made disaster in the history of the human race. And that is so true. It is absolutely true. I don't care what culture it is. And it's in every culture on this planet.
That's right.
So far, I haven't found one that is exempt from this.
Only
if you know of one, let me know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last question.
I said, if you know of one that hasn't, let me know. I'd be very open to studying them, but I haven't found it so far.
No. No, but you know what's really significant about that, Donna, I believe, is that the essence of fear is that it is in many ways the farthest we can get from God.
I agree.
You know, it's an interesting thing that the human mind has this capability of basically saying to us all the time, if I'm not frightened, you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, what I love, there's something called the Course in Miracles, which you may be familiar with, which
yes, I
can't pretend to be a student of the Course in Miracles, but I have many friends who are, and one of my favorite principles from that is that there are only two states of experience for human beings to be in, ultimately. We're either in love or we're in fear. And if we're not fully in love, in divine love, in unconditional love, which is our highest nature, if we're not living in that, then we're in some form of fear. And the fear is what disconnects us from God, from happiness, from that disconnects us from love. It disconnects us from compassion. It disconnects us from everything we want to really be connected to. It really boils down to fear. You know, I remember one of the most amazing teachings I got from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when she was talking about her five stages of dying or the five stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was anger. And she made a big point of impressing on us. She would say, I want you to know that all anger is an expression of grief.
Very good statement. Very good
statement.
Now,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what she was saying was, and we said, well, you mean just the anger that follows on the heels of getting a bad diagnosis or someone you love dying? She said, no, all anger. And somebody in the class, I remember, didn't understand. And she said, well, anger isn't a primary emotion. Anger always comes from fear or sadness or a combination of the two. And then I started to realize that what anger is the mind's ability to grab power when it feels powerless.
Mm-hmm.
But the power it takes is a destructive power. So if you're acting from anger, which is coming from fear and sadness, you're liable to do most anything. I mean, the people who committed those horrible acts on September 11th, 2001, were very angry. And what had happened was, I mean, you can't do something like that, like hijacking airplanes and flying them into buildings with the intention of killing yourself and thousands of other people. You can't do that without having completely disconnected from mm-hmm. those people you're going to do violence to,
mm-hmm.
without putting them completely out of your heart so that they're no longer us, they're them. There's somebody I fear, somebody I don't like, and I can do anything at that point. That's really what Hitler understood, was how to motivate people with anger. And so he created an enemy, which in that case was the Jewish people, and basically said, they're the cause of all our problems, and we need to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Stalin did the same thing. Oh, yeah. And Pol Pot,
yeah.
Idi Amin, And the list goes on and on and on. In the 20th
the
century,
goes on and on.
Oh, it's horrific. And we've still got the dingbats that are out there doing it. And
yeah,
they're, you know, they
true.
Really, sometimes I wonder if it isn't a situation where we need to be reminded that we have to be attentive. And instead of getting
true.
Into the blame,
absolutely.
Instead of
yeah.
getting into the blame game, looking
yeah,
at the fact
exactly.
that it has to start with us. We have to take a positioning of personal responsibility for our world, not for the entire world, but for our world.
Right.
And if we take responsibility, as the old saying goes, I grew up with this, take care of your own backyard, stop worrying about everybody else's.
Right.
Then there's a ripple effect. There
right.
is something that happens. People will say, something's working for you. I don't know what it is. But it passes on. Now, not everybody's going to get it. It's just like with Elizabeth when she was teaching her class. Not everybody mm-hmm. was getting what she was saying because they were seeing, hearing, feeling, perceiving through their filters of experience, whatever they may have been.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, the most amazing thing to me, it actually is in some sense the easiest way to motivate people is with anger. And it is also the most destructive thing that one human being can do to another is to try and get an individual or group of individuals angry. Because then they're not going to act from wisdom, they're not going to act from love and compassion. They're going to act from fear, and they're capable of anything
That's
when they're
the
acting from fear.
That's the mob mentality.
Yeah.
That's the mob exactly. mentality. And then all of a sudden they awaken to what has happened, and they go into a trauma. They
yeah.
have post-traumatic yeah. stress syndrome, for the lack of a better term, because they go, I participated in this. And
right.
they have to carry it within them for as long as they live, and no matter how they try to justify it, it does not work because it eats at them.
Yeah.
It really,
yeah.
really
I actually is. Teach meditation in prisons sometimes, and I do it for that reason because, you know, for a number of reasons, like the fact that prisons don't generally breed less violent people, they breed more violent people.
Mm-hmm.
So given the fact that some of the people are going to get out, I'd like to give them a tool that they can use that might transform their being and give them an insight into a deeper part of themselves, the part of themselves where, you know, when we live in love, Donna, no matter how many country western songs say you always hurt the one you love, the truth of the matter is if you're truly in love, you can't hurt that person because you
mm-hmm.
realize you're going to be hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they are a part of you. You are
exactly.
part of them.
Yeah.
We are all,
we're all
interconnected. There
yeah.
are the one thing that someone, a very, very dear friend of mine, a fellow broadcaster, Steve Agbaba, many years ago, said to me, because he had gone through very severe alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
and he had stepped away from it, and he hadn't had a drink in years. And one day we were discussing this type of situation and environment that people can find themselves in, and he said, Donna, I don't care what anybody says. It always has to start from inside the person. I had
right.
got a lot of lectures, I read books, all kinds of things, but I was the one that had to make up my mind. I was the one that had to make the choice. All these other people for so many years that tried to assist me to do that, they meant well, but I'm the one that had to do
right.
the work. And I yeah. think that that's personal responsibility and accountability, and that was very, very big in his mind. And he
mm-hmm.
was very much a part of AA, but he said, Donna, it boils down to the fact that you have to have a sense of personal pride, but more than that, you have to want it for yourself. Because if you don't do it for yourself, it's never going to work. You try to do it for somebody
right.
else, it doesn't hold true. And so that's
right.
just a compliment to what you said.
Yeah. Well, it's the statement from Mahatma Gandhi that has become so popular in recent years, you must be the change you
mm-hmm.
wish to see in the world. You know, it's very easy to sit back and say, all of the problems in the world and all of the problems in my life are their fault.
mm-hmm.
You know? But then at some point you start to realize that the only person you really have control over is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that the best work you can do for the world and for the individuals in your personal life is to work on yourself and become a more loving, more conscious, more wise human being.
I agree. I know we're sort of running out of time here, but I'd love for you to tell the story of the Buddhist meditation master who got a fabulous gift, and it was a crystal goblet. This is a beautiful story.
Oh, yes. That actually is a story from Jack Kornfield, and I think it's in his book Living Buddhist Masters. But he went to Southeast Asia to study in a variety of Buddhist temples back in the 70s. And one of the teachers owned this beautiful crystal goblet that he used to love to drink his water from. And one of the primary teachings of Buddhism, of course, is a teaching about impermanence, that everything in the world of form is impermanent, and that suffering at some level is created by the attachment to forms that are impermanent. So you're going to suffer if you want things to stay the way they are. Now the teacher's talking about how to enjoy life, and Jack looked at him and he said, well, how can you enjoy life if everything is impermanent? In other words, how can you enjoy that beautiful glass that you seem to like so much? And the teacher said, well, it's very simple, really. He said, you know, this is a beautiful glass, and he held it up to the sunlight, and he spun it around, and it made rainbows on the wall and so on. And he said, look at the craftsmanship in this glass. It's just gorgeous. But he said, you know, for me, the glass is already broken. So that someday when I carelessly move my arm and I forget that the glass is there and my elbow knocks it off the table and it breaks into a million pieces, all I have to say is, ah, so, because it's already broken. It's always been broken. And I can enjoy it because I know that it isn't going to last forever.
Yes, and I really liked your last sentence along of that story. You said, instead of feeling cheated when we lose something or someone, we feel absolutely blessed each moment we have them. Your book is marvelous. When prayers aren't answered, there's so much more that we could cover, but obviously we don't have the time. John, you've done a wonderful service by being able to write about a subject matter that I think so many people will just not understand, that maybe the prayer is being answered, and maybe it's going to take a little longer than expected, and it might come in a way that was never expected. But your book, When Prayers Aren't Answered, I think is a superb read. I would recommend reading it just before you go to bed at night, just so that your mind, if you're really anxious, you've got so many wonderful stories in it, so many things that you share from people that you've known through the years. It's the type of book that soothes the heart, the mind, and encourages the spirit. And I'm very grateful to have you as a guest. What's your website?
The website is onesoulonelove.com, onesoulonelove.com.
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 Thank you, John, for being my guest.
Donna, thank you for inviting me. It's been an absolute delight to be with you.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest, and continued success and a safe drive home. This
Thank
is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, John Welshon's When Prayers Aren't Answered. It would make a great gift for a friend, maybe even, that's going through some difficult times. They are words that go to the heart. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Marist Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756, if you'd like to call in and chat with me. And I also want to say, don't forget, when you call in, all I need is your first name or your initial. I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And then, of course, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you that stopped by to visit me at the Renaissance Fair. And I know we've got a caller on the line, but before I go to that caller again, I want to thank those of you that stopped by to say hello. We had a blast, but I'll have to tell you, it was 115 degrees out on the Ren Fair site, and on Saturday, we were just it was just unreal. We just did not expect it was going to get that hot. And then it was about 108 on Sunday, but the skies were blue, 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 Perry Como song. And when the skies are blue in Seattle, it's just absolutely true. And we had phenomenal weather. We had record-breaking temperatures. It hasn't been that hot on an August weekend in the Pacific Northwest for 4 years, they said. So I know we've had them before, but it had been a while. Meanwhile, let me show you what it's done here on the Donna Sebo Show. I want to welcome the caller to the show and say, hey, first name or initial, please.
Hi, this is Janine.
All right. Janine, is that a J like Jean or a D like Donna?
D as in Donna.
Janine. And where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Oh, where in North Carolina?
I'm in Fayetteville.
Fayetteville. I used to have a sister-in-law that lived in Fayetteville. And it is a beautiful community. Just beautiful.
Yes.
She loved it there. She had to move back to Virginia, but, oh, she just loved Fayetteville. She loved the people there. So did we when we had the opportunity a few years back to visit her. Gorgeous country. Absolutely gorgeous. And I especially liked your Cracker Barrel. Love that restaurant. I love that restaurant. I mean, and their sweet tea. Good stuff. I like it. Okay, Janine, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I am looking at is I want you to let go of your anger. You have some situations, and I don't blame you for being uptight and upset over some situations with some people that have been in your environment. They're very thoughtless. They have not been at all considerate, but I want you to know you are raising the bar for yourself. You don't have to carry them in any way, shape, or form. You are not responsible for the way that they think or they act, but you are responsible for yourself and how you respond to them. So let them, instead of being a detraction for you, let them be a motivating factor for you, because what it will do, it will empower you to continue your own personal education and interacting with individuals that you have a great deal of respect for, and you're going to go, what I would say, up the ladder. There is a community involvement that I'm seeing you having a light association with now, but I believe you're going to have an opportunity to become much more involved over the next year. And I would not be a bit surprised if you find yourself encouraged to become part of a working team. And this is going to be excellent for you because I think you've got some natural leadership skills, but you haven't had the self-confidence to really move forward, to put them into play the way they should be. And I want to be encouraging to you. If you need to take some courses, if you need to, again, volunteer for something that allows you to show people what you're capable of doing, put yourself out there. Nobody's going to know about you if you're sitting at your kitchen table and just meditate. It's not going to work. You need to put yourself out in the environment of people. You've got a very good, clear way of thinking and expressing yourself. I also would like to encourage you to join Toastmasters, because you will learn how to speak in front of people and be at ease and be comfortable. And I think you need to take off this, again, this emotional, I'll call it armor, that's very oppressive, because it's not serving you. And you're not going to be able to move forward in your life economically, spiritually, physically on certain levels of health, and emotionally. You're not going to be able to really move forward the way you want until you dump the junk. Don't carry other people's garbage. They've got to carry their own stuff. Everybody has baggage of their own. You just need to disassociate from their baggage and say, it's all yours. I'm not permitting it in my space. You are accountable for what you do. And then you'll have clear conscience. You can move forward. And if someone calls you self-centered, you'll say, I certainly am. If somebody says you just are so selfish, you'll say, I certainly am. Because you have to be that for yourself first. And then you're going to be able to give back and then some. You're always generous. But I really think that you've got to get rid of these emotions that are tying you down. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, you kind of just blew me away with everything that you just spoke about. You basically are 100% correct. What I wanted to focus on was my business that I'm still in the stages of developing.
What kind of business are you? Okay, what kind of
business? It's a life coaching business.
Okay. Denise,
and
you...
I also train people how to be a coach. So I've been stepping out more into the local marketing world and trying to get a lot of things done locally. And because of that, I've gotten some backlash from certain people.
Because I've decided to
live my authentic self.
Right. Well, that's all you need to do. There's no way, Deneen, that everybody's going to agree with you. And something that you'll find is that when you're more at peace with yourself, so you're feeling a little insecure, this is new territory for you. You're your own Daniel Boone, if you will. So you're having to learn how to break your own trail. And that's always, always something that sort of eats at you until you really get comfortable in your own skin. And that's why I think Richard Bach, who has written one of the most wonderful books in the world called Illusions, you ought to get the book Illusions and read it every once in a while. Because in there, it states we're all teachers, we're all doers, and we're all students. Now, I've altered the words a little bit, but that's basically what he said. And that's something you just need to keep in your mind. You are wanting to be a first-class life coach. You've walked your own route. You've gone through certain trainings. And now you have to walk the walk that's going to give you experience. It's going to see where your show you where your vulnerabilities are. It's going to show you where your strengths are. So the only thing I would say to you is don't be afraid. Let other people say what they're going to say. If they think it's stupid, it's childish, a woman your age, why are you starting a new career, why don't you just retire? My God, you don't have a PhD in Bongo Bongo Land, so you're not qualified to do this. I mean, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But you're living your truth, and that's what you have to give the energy to. Don't waste your time on those that don't know what to do with their minds or their mouths. Does that help
you? Yes, it does.
Wonderful, and I wish you the best. You'll do well. You're conscientious. You've got leadership skills. You're just still having to learn about them and to gain the confidence in them and the what I would call the ease. The ease that enables you to be empowered, to be who you really want to be. You're getting there. Trust yourself.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and thank you for joining me today. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and I have some other things to share with you. And again, thank you to those of you that came out to the Ren Faire. Hey, we've got one more weekend left, and come on by. This is going to be a dynamite weekend at the Renaissance Fair in Buckley, Washington at the Maris Farms. It is the week of the mask theme. You're going to see more costumes than you could have ever imagined. And, oh, we have some wonderful artisans in making masks, the best anywhere, I think. So if you can, come on out and check out the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair.com site, and you'll get all of your details. We're taking a break. I'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh, and before I go to our next caller, I do want to let you know I've got some shows that are going to be coming up that I'm going to be doing some interviews for. Also, there was an interview done this afternoon by a guest that's going to be on this Friday, Madeline, and she's going to put it up on her blog. So we'll be giving you some of that information. That's Madeline Blair, who's going to be my guest on Friday, and I'll be sharing the information about who we've got coming up this week. But anyway, some exciting things are occurring. There are also some trips where I might be in your part of the country, and if so, I'll let you know where I'm going to be for appearances. Meanwhile, let's go to our caller who's been waiting very patiently on the line. Thank you so much, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
V. Seattle.
Where are you from? Seattle, Washington. Wonderful. All right, now, G, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is a lot of paperwork. I'm looking at a great deal of detail, and I'm seeing you rubbing your eyes and saying, will there ever be a time in my life I won't have to deal with so much paperwork? The answer is yes. However, you are well advised to be the conscientious person you are, inasmuch as I'm seeing some paperwork that someone may make an amendment to. And you've got to remember, do not assume on this paper that they have done what they said they were going to do. You still need to go through the document and read it line by line. And I would encourage you to make a copy of the document, have a highlighter with you, and if you notice any discrepancies, use the highlighter so that you'll find it, because it looks like, could be about 20 pages, 15 to 20 pages that I'm looking at here. So whatever this transaction or this legal document is covering, assume nothing. Trust is great, but people can get sidetracked and not do what they say they're going to do. So I want you to be a wise person. I want you to check everything out. Also, what I am looking at, G, is a need to be able to relieve some of the stress you're going through. There is an anxiousness. It's as if I'm feeling a pressure coming up from my solar plexus going up into the center of my chest. Almost pressure strong enough that would make me think someone might start to hyperventilate. Now, this could be from low blood sugar, but I don't think so. I think it's your body's way of letting you know that stress is beginning to express itself, and you need to listen to your body. And I'd say either do some deep breathing exercises, get up, do something physical so that you can put that stress level back in harmony and balance the way it's supposed to be. And then you'll be able to go about your business. But you're not getting your sleep the way you should be. I'm not seeing you sleeping well. And I'd like to encourage you to develop a simple routine before you go to bed. I don't care if it's reading, you know, meditation stuff, or whatever. It could be reading a book on gratitude. But I want you to put into your mind, before you go to bed, a sense of peacefulness and a shifting of mentality. Sometimes, I know what I've done every once in a while when I'm highly stressed. I have my favorite CDs, and I put them on a player, and then I put earplugs in, earphones, I should say, and I listen to it. It's often music, and then I'm just comfortable. It helps me shift into that different mental space that allows me to rest, because you're not sleeping well. This is not good. When you're not rested, you're not going to be at your peak.
No.
What's on your mind, dear?
Yeah. I'm having some problems with my husband, and they've been going on for a while.
What kind of a problem are you concerned about?
He was having an affair.
Mm-hmm. All right. You say it's been going on for a while. How long have you been married?
28 years.
Okay, when did this occur? I don't think this is the first time, by the way.
I don't either.
Okay.
I found out about it right after my mother passed away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when was that, dear?
In January.
Okay. You need to be very honest with yourself about the relationship with your husband. You've been with this man for 28 years. You know that this has happened before. This is not the only time this has happened. So the honesty has to be there. What is it that you're getting from this relationship? And I'm not saying this to be unkind. You need to really ask why this is something you have stayed with it when it creates such a sense of disharmony in you.
What am I getting from it? I just... Mm-hmm. Companionship sometimes.
All right. Now, the reason you need to be honest with yourself is because this behavior with him, he does not feel he needs to change it.
He doesn't feel he's wrong.
Correct. And it's something that you must make a choice about. And if it's not acceptable to you, then you need to ask yourself if it's time for you to get out of the relationship. If you are of a mindset that this is acceptable as long as you are comfortable and safe financially or otherwise, then you need to be honest about that too. And I'm not being judgmental here. It's just you need to have honesty with yourself. If this is something that is not acceptable to you, then you need to look at releasing yourself from this relationship. So I think really what's coming up is that you're having to deal with your fears, dear. Now, I hate to tell you this. We're running out of time. And I am available if you wanted to reach me for a private counseling session. But I would say this to you. This will be resolved when you are ready to resolve it. It's not up to him because he doesn't feel he's the one that has the problem. The issue is, what are your choices? And you need to be, again, have this honesty with yourself so you make a choice for right action that is correct for you.
Okay.
Does that help you at all?
Yeah, I've kind of known that I need to do this, but it's hard after so many years.
Well, it is hard because there was a rut made by acceptance and continuance. But I'll tell you what, when you come to that point of truth within yourself, you will come to know a freedom that you will say, this freedom that I have today, I would not have been able to obtain without the pain and suffering, because I wouldn't have been motivated to get it without it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dear. I'm going to have to say goodbye because
okay.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Hope you can come out to the Renaissance Fair this weekend in Buckley, Washington. It's going to be absolutely gloriously wonderful. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about women leading for a change. Pamela Wibble is going to be my guest. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Donna. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.